All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Time now for Coming in Hot with Brent Wallace and former Ottawa Senators Bobby Ryan and Jason York.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to show number 4 for the week. Bobby is so upset with me right now.
And I just found out we're doing that next week, so you guys can pick a day that I'm not showing up.
We are doing, that's right, we're going to do trade deadline, 3 p.m. on Friday next week as our fourth show. So,
yeah,
we'll see, Bob. Like, hey, it's fun, Bob. Don't you find it fun?
Oh, I love it. Right in the middle of the day? Perfect.
Right, plop at 3 o'clock.
2 o'clock. Like,
yeah.
Oh, yeah, you're 2 o'clock.
Yeah. Great. Right. Well, okay. Can't do anything in the morning. Can't do anything in the afternoon. Perfect.
I spend all day on the show. I built a 2-hour show today.
I'll see you. I'll watch the second half.
So let's get right to it because we got lots to talk about. Obviously, Josh Norris, terrible news. And we're still waiting to find out the exact cause of the extent of the injury. But Jacques Martin saying an extended time. That does not sound very good for Josh Norris. Artem Zub is back. At least he skated today. I expect him to play tomorrow. Travis Hamonic out now week to week. And Stützle and Thomas Chabot did not skate today, but they should play tomorrow. So there is the way things are breaking down.
More importantly, has it been confirmed that Rourke Chartier is back?
I have not seen it. I don't.
There's rumors swirling right now that he's en route.
Oh, all right. Well, we'll get to that in a sec. He scored last night. Oh,
yeah.
So
yeah, a little confidence coming up.
Yeah, Greg is. Jacques said Ridly Greig will move back to the middle. So we'll see how that affects everything. Yeah. All right. Nice. I don't want to waste any more. He's only got a limited time. I want to welcome into the show Chris Stevenson, otherwise known as CJ, author.
Whoa. By
the
way.
Nice to see you,
Eucorn Cornelius. Look at that beard. That is solid, CJ.
Thank you.
Oh, God. I haven't seen you in a while.
You know what? I miss being around the rink, and Wally can speak to this a little bit too. But you know, I used to love being at the rink to see you guys, and we always had the opportunity to hang around the dressing room for a while. Guys like Bobby and Jason. Jason, Jay Spezza, all those guys, you guys would hang around your stalls after the, you know, air quotes, formal stuff was done. And it was always so much fun. Are we allowed to swear on the show or no?
Yes.
Do whatever you want.
sitting around and shooting the shit with the boys after. And there was always like a good give and take. And you respected those relationships. But when you had those convos, that was when you really found out what was going on, to tell you the truth. Who Absolutely. Was happy playing with who wasn't happy with their ice time, people wondering why they were forechecking a certain way. It was always so informative. Mm-hmm. And those days are gone, unfortunately. Yes.
In and out. Bobby would have loved today's game.
Yes. The in and out?
Oh, just, yeah. Show up, take your three questions and say good day or good night and be gone. I think you know, and this might sound like an old guy with a very white beard reminiscing about the old days, but I think the game's poorer for it, Wally. Like I feel like there's less of an opportunity now to kind of pull back the curtain a little bit and tell players stories. Now that's the big part. it doesn't mean that you can't doesn't mean you can't work with a club or with the league or whatever to get some time with a player to do a story. But, you know, so many times you found out something interesting from that time in the dressing room when you were just kind of hanging around and shooting the breeze. That doesn't happen too much anymore.
And the best thing, the in-game stories,
those were the best part.
No, the best part is when guys would come in, and you guys didn't know this, but you know, I'd love it when a guy like Donnie Brandon would come in, because that was our time to abuse him. Like, Donnie, look at that stooch you got on. Like, really? At least to say it wasn't Hugo Boss. It was Hobo Boss that Don would wear.
Still looks the same, by the way. Yes,
Panzaneri. Alan Panzaneri would cruise in there, and my God, see, like, you guys, the abuse that poor little guy took, just, those were the good old days.
And just before we move along, one of those favorite times, Don Brandon in the dress. Well, two quick ones. Alexi Ashton was not happy with him at one point because Don was ripping him for the contract holdouts and trying to get his parents jobs at the NAC as part of his foundation, and all legitimate points of view from Don, and Alexi refusing to speak if Don within earshot. So yeah, it's the good old days.
Same with Perry Pern. Remember Perry Pern yelling at Don Brennan one day in the locker room? That was a classic. Anyway,
you know what, you had to do something to get Perry Pern yelling at you.
And Don, one of the nicest guys there is, right?
Exactly.
Donnie found a way.
Yeah. Oh, there's also the Erik Karlsson, where he wanted to talk to Erik Karlsson every day. And for like 63 days, Erik Karlsson didn't speak, and he would keep writing about it, or he keep anyway.
Yeah.
So now Erik was now pissed at Donnie. Anyway, moving on.
I hung up for Yorkie. I hung up my,
what do you got there?
My original Ottawa Senators jersey sweater, as I would call it, signed by the Daigle and Alexi Ashton. There you go.
Nice.
For you.
I love it, CJ.
Okay, so we have a rule before we get started. I know I only have you for a few short minutes. This is a hockey podcast. So talk hockey, yes. Golf, no. So if by chance you guys veer off the fairway, if you will, like this, producer Gavin will sound the alarm. You'll get one of these.
I got a very weird text from Brad Fritch today, and just all it said was make it a golf chat. And I had no clue what he was talking about till I opened up Twitter and saw it. So shout out.
Well,
I'm repping Fritchy right here with the red rooster hat.
Yes. Yeah.
All I can say, boys, the Masters is right around the corner. Like,
Okay, so Gavin,
what did you guys think about Taylor Gooch's comments about McIlroy and having to have an asterisk if he wins the Masters? Yeah, wow,
get out of here, beat it.
We'll remind you.
Go ahead, Wally. Wally, get control of your show.
All right. So yesterday, Steve Staios came out, the GM, and spoke about Vladimir Tarasenko and Jacob Chychrun, among things, also reaffirming that we're not trading Brady Tkachuk anytime soon. And so we commented on it in the show. And then CJ, you came out with a tweet in our show and said, Based on what Steyos has said about being in the market for a veteran leadership, he should be doing everything he can to sign Tarasenko, not trade him, because he will be right back out into the marketplace trying to sign a player like Tarasenko. So do you think then the Ottawa Senators should be keeping Vladimir Tarasenko?
Short answer, yes. I think at the very least right now, they should be having, you know, substantive talks about what he's looking for as a free agent, whether he is indeed happy being here. And all indications seem to be that he has enjoyed his time in Ottawa. But I feel like the way Steyos has categorized and characterized the type of players that he's going to be looking for, that talking to people around the team, that Tarasenko is exactly the kind of guy that they would be out there beating the bushes for. Mm-hmm. Now, big key. What's he looking for, and what's the term? And my feeling is always, if you can re-sign your own guy, you're probably going to get a little bit better deal than being out in the free agent marketplace where you're competing with all the other teams. Because mm-hmm. right now, all you're competing with is what Tarasenko thinks about the Senators, thinks about where they're headed, and thinking about his role. You know what happens in free agency. You always wind up giving too much money and too much term. Yeah, and yeah. I think right now they've got this exclusive window to be negotiating with Tarasenko to see what if there's a mutual like on each side. I've liked Tarasenko's season this year. I think he's been really good. And everything I hear about the way that he's carried himself and the way he's helped the kids, particularly on the bench, he's one of those, you know, you talk about the Senators this year kind of losing control at certain times during a game, and everybody blames it on immaturity and they can't stem the other team's pushback. Well, from what I've heard, Tarasenko has been one of those voices of reason on the bench, calming people down and telling them what to do. So I feel like if you feel like you want to get the assets, but I'll have my opinion on the assets in a minute. He seems to me to be exactly the kind of guy that you would be out in free agency trying to sign.
Okay.
And you've got him now. So why not make every move that you can right now to see if you can get him to stay?
Here, I only have one argument to this, CJ. He's not taking a pay cut. People seem to think he's going to sign for $3 million in Ottawa. I can't fathom this for the life of me.
No.
So are you going to pay? And by the way, thank goodness that we can't sign him to 8-year contracts like the previous regime.
It's a little dig, eh? Get it in there.
Are you going to sign him to a 3-year, $5 or more million deal? And I think that becomes the issue of how much money are you going to give Vladimir Tarasenko?
That's the question. So what's your number? What's your number as a general manager that makes sense to you for Tarasenko? And if you're doing your due diligence at this time, maybe you're not using cap friendly, but you're going on there and you're looking to see who the potential free agents are this summer and what
is that another dig
they're going to cost you. So I love a guy like Sprong. Hey, I thought that was a great signing by Detroit. He's going to be a free agent, and he's making two something now. Do you not think that out in free agency, after what he's done for the Wings this year, that he's going to be in that $4 million ballpark?
Yeah.
Yes. All I'm saying is people seem to think he's going to take less than $5 million, and I don't believe he is going to sign anywhere for less than $5 million. And the other argument is, does he want to sit around for 3 years and hope to maybe be on a competitive hockey team?
All fair comments. And that's why I'm sure those conversations are going on. Yeah. Those conversations are going on right now. My thing would be, your number's $5 million. That's what he's making this year. So a contending team, which we know 3/4 of the league is capped out. Yeah. Is a contending team going to be able to make room for Tarasenko at $5 million for 3 years? I'm not sure that they can. Ottawa might be in the most advantageous position to keep him at that number. But I completely understand people saying, well, let's move on. But it seems to me, and I'm basing this only on what Steyos has said about his priority for the offseason, and that's to get veteran leadership. And everything I've heard about Tarasenko and the Senators is he is giving them that. So you've got what you need. It's at least worth, I think, long, deep, and detailed conversations.
Yeah.
To see if you can find a way that makes sense for both sides to keep him around. What do you think you're going to get if you trade him at the trade deadline? After Tanev only went for a second round.
You're not getting a first.
And a no-name prospect. Really?
Yeah.
Maybe you're going to be a decent defensive defenseman, and can all use those guys, Yorkie. But
yeah, for sure.
You're not getting a first-round pick for Tarasenko.
Yeah. I think people
are arguing that, the cupboard's bare. They need to rebuild their asset base. Not now.
Right.
Your goal now is to make the playoffs.
Yeah.
It's not you trying to retool your team now and jettison a bunch of guys who can help you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I think though, if you look where the Ottawa Senators are as a team right now, are they a good hockey team? I think we can all agree
I saw you talking about that in the replies. Yeah.
Do you think they're good?
On X. And my reply was, it's so hard to evaluate this team, and I'm interested what you guys as ex-players think.
Yeah. I think
I'm less interested in Wally's opinion. But the goaltending has been such an issue. How can you really evaluate this team? Tarasenko's not the reason why they are in these standings. People are like, you got to change the bodies out here because look at them. They're still in your last place. I think you said that, Yorkie.
Yeah.
It's so hard to evaluate where they are because the goaltending's been so inconsistent for this team for the last few years.
It's very true.
Totally agree on the goaltending. It's, well, we've been saying that since the season started. It's been terrible. But if you listen to the Ottawa Senators talk, they'll always say, we're a good team. We're a good team. Well, you're not a good team. And part of the reason is the goaltending. But if you watch the Senators play, they're not hard to play against. So if I'm a defenseman and I'm lined up against the Ottawa Senators forwards, and I always do it before a shift, I would see who's on the ice against me. The only guy that I'm really taking account for, I know Brady Tkachuk's going to come hard on the forecheck, and I know Matthew Joseph can pressure him with speed. Besides that, I really believe Ottawa's got too much of the same thing. So
I don't disagree with that. I mean, so Ridley Gregg's going to, if Ridley Gregg's got a chance to make your life miserable, he's going to do it. I watch a ton of the Belleville Senators, and I really think a Stapchuk is going to help them change that mix as well. So I do think that within the system that there is some grit coming that will change the way that they play. I don't dispute what you're saying, Jason. Yeah. Their bottom six needs to be it needs to be more productive, and it needs to be more of the types of players that a coach trusts putting out there in the last minute of a period, trying to protect a lead or the last minute of a game. And right now they don't have that. And that's why I think that's where you need to go after some veterans. Might be a little bit cheaper because they are going to be fourth line guys. But I think that should be the area of the focus in the off season, those character veterans. Maybe a slightly overpay, but you're not talking $5 million to bolster that bottom six and do just what you're talking about, Jason. Make them a tougher team to play against. Same for the blue line.
Yeah.
Look at the softest blue line in the league.
Yeah, very soft. But
Who's afraid of going in front of the Ottawa net?
Yeah, it's bad. Wally's been all over that. But the thing, I don't look at a team as bottom six. I look more top nine. Ottawa's top nine is not hard enough. So, and I love, I agree with everybody at Tarasenko. He's had a really good year. But how many offensive players do you need in your top nine? You've got Batherson. You've got Pinto. You've got Giroux. You've got Stützle. You've got Tkachuk. The narrative that Tarasenko is a 30-goal scorer, well, he's not anymore.
No, he's not.
He's a 20-goal scorer that doesn't block shots. He has a good plus-minus, but he loses coverage a lot in his own zone. But he's a good, dependable veteran. But is he hard to play against? Not really. He's hard on the puck. He's good with the puck. He makes smart plays. But if Ottawa wants to take the next step, they need another forward or two in their top nine. And this is what I believe Stamkos is going to look after. A veteran player that's hard to play against. Not necessarily a bottom six, but more of a guy you can move up and down your lineup. That's why, like, when we watch Joseph play, guys, that's why he looks so good, because he's got speed. He forces. He makes turnovers. Vlad doesn't play that style. So for me, to give him, because you're going to have to overpay to keep him, to overpay to get Vlad to stay here, I just don't think it makes sense where Ottawa is right now. And
what's,
that's no offense to
Vlad, OJ. What do you think?
I think it's just tough. Even if you keep him, because even if you keep him, you have to play him a lot, because Vlad playing in a role where he's not going to be on the ice a lot is going to be useless. And then again, that's more guys of the same that are on the ice that don't make it hard on the other team's blue line. I can tell you from experience, when you play against a team that doesn't make it hard on you as a defenseman, it's pretty easy to play against. And that, to me, coupled with the goaltending, is Ottawa's not built properly. And by keeping, like, you look at why Pierre signed Tarasenko, because it's a shiny object. Hey, look, here's a shiny object. Let's get him. Let's bring him in.
Same but with Chychrun.
Was that really the right move? Not really. Like, imagine if Pinto didn't get what would they have done? And look how well he's playing right now, not having him in, and we saw what it did, but nothing against Vlad. I just think it's not the right fit. What do you think, Bob?
That's
well, you know what would have happened if
but
they
then
had
I didn't agree with you though, because then we'd both be wrong. So I think he's been a pleasant surprise, and
for sure.
I'm going almost basing this almost all on what Steos has said about what he's looking for in the marketplace. And I think Tarasenko's wound up being a pleasant surprise in terms of what he brought to this team in being a steady voice and a veteran presence for this team. And if they wanted to move on from him, I have no problem with that. But I still think you're going to wind up, if it's the free agent route that you go, being in the marketplace, you're going to wind up overpaying for whoever you bring in, and it's going to be the same kind of argument. That's, you know, unfortunately where they find themselves right now.
It's just the easiest thing to do when you want to make changes, especially when you're a bad hockey team. Ottawa's not a good hockey team. They're second to last. You don't sign your unrestricted free agents because they're the easiest thing to change. That's just historically how I've seen it. I remember I was on a bad team that lost in the first round as a UFA. You're not getting re-signed. You're easy to change.
Yeah, I agree. You know what would have happened too? If Pinto doesn't go through what he went through and they're forcing a way to get him back in the lineup, they would have pulled the trigger on trading Matthew Joseph when everybody was calling for him to be gone.
Remember that?
And thank God it didn't happen, right?
He's wound up being their most consistent forward.
Absolutely.
I agree. Next to Drew.
That's what it would have come down to.
That's fair.
Yeah.
For me, the way I look at it, like I got a lot of respect for Tarasenko. I think he's got. I think he's been a very pleasant surprise. To agree with you, CJ. I think that when they're looking at the fabric of the team and what they want going forward, I think they have a different vision in mind for what they're looking for from their veterans, and I think that's it fair. Fits more the mold that Yorkie talks about being harder to play against. And then you have a lot of guys that can score 20 goals there. Assuming, you know, Josh Norris, we might have to talk about whether his career is in jeopardy if it's another shoulder injury. But when you look at the fabric of the team, I just don't think he's part of what they envision the long-term future being. And I think he's a great stopgap for a year, as in next year. I would love to see him back on a deal that makes sense for both sides, but I wouldn't be going more than year to year with him. And I don't think that's what a player at his age wants. He wants a little bit more security. So it's going to be interesting to see how it folds out, but I would veer towards keeping him for 1 year if the dollar was right. I just wouldn't go beyond that.
I'm just really intrigued to see if he's still going to be here after, what is it? A week from tomorrow.
Yeah.
What do you guys say? But CJ, you say second rounder if they trade him. What do you guys think?
I think so. You know, everybody was talking about how valuable Tanev was going to be and how everybody would be falling all over each other to sign him up. You know, a right shot, gritty, shot blocking, tough to play against defenseman. All those guys, you know, one of those guys that you guys are talking about, the type of guy the Senators need. And for him to go for a second round draft pick and a, I've talked to a couple of pro scouts, a middling prospect. I was surprised that it was
me too.
That little, frankly.
Especially after what Winnipeg gave up for Monahan, right? Like,
right.
Like Montreal got a first.
Yeah.
I think he fetches you. I think they'd like to do a roster move. I think they'd like to bring in somebody that fits what they're looking to do long term. So that's going to be interesting. But they don't need to restock the cover like everybody seems to think, because you have your core and they're all locked up for 6 years. Like, you're not. You need your young guys to play on the salary cap at 1.9 or whatever their salary cap shakes out to be. You have to have some players, but those are only first round picks, right? Your second and third round picks are going to usually take 3 to 4 years to give you some seasoning and all that kind of stuff. So it's not a retool. I would love to see them make a hockey deal to bring somebody in that plays more of the mold of a Matthew Joseph, that style player, to really help them. So I don't think he's here. I think he gets traded, but that's just me. I think that somebody in the last 24 hours comes to them and has a deal in hand that blows them away enough to make the trade. But Vlad's got full say too. So if he doesn't like the situation, he just says no, thank you. Yeah, people forget that. Yeah. He's in control. Yeah.
And again, going back to the types of relationships that I spoke about off the top of the show. I'd love to know what Tarasenko is thinking, even just off the record. Like, maybe he's made up his mind. He's going to be a UFA.
Yeah.
And, maybe he's told them that already. Don't know.
Yeah. We have no clue.
Senator's hand, and he has to be traded. So I'm intrigued to see what the scuttlebutt is going to be and what things are going to sound like heading into next Friday, and see what the insiders have to offer in terms of the amount of chatter and the amount of noise that there might be around Tarasenko. From the Senator standpoint, to me, that's the most intriguing thing going into the trade deadline.
If he here's the thing, if he says and decides not to waive his no trade clause, then he's basically saying, I will take less, because he's not going to play in the playoffs. Like, if he wants, if he's going to want to make more money, he's going to want to get traded, because he's going to bet on himself to go to somewhere and showcase himself in the playoffs. So that's a pretty good answer. If he stays, he's not going to get more, because it's another year older and out of the playoffs. Yeah. So that'll be very interesting to see.
All right, CJ, before you go, do you think
I can stay a little bit longer, but only if we're going to finish up some golf, but anyway.
Gavin, do you have Gavin?
I'm totally
mentioned golf. Thank you. It's no golf talk on the show. Jacob Chychrun, by the way, Steve Staios commenting that not overly happy to see the reports out that the Senators have looked at moving him, if you will. But they have to look at everything, right? So do you think Jacob Chychrun is here on March 9th?
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
I'm going to say yes because I think they're going to get some really interesting offers to contemplate, because right now he's at a pretty good price, right? What is he? Yep. 4.5?
Yeah.
And something like that. You're going to get two runs at the playoffs with him because of that contract. So I think they're going to get some really, attractive offers for him. If I'm the Senators, I say hang on to him, because that's going to keep your options open going into the summer. Because do you guys not think that the way the team is constructed right now, that left side needs one big change, and that would be either Grenier or Shabbat? You're keeping Sanderson. Mm-hmm. You got Clevin on the way, who does give you something different in your mix. And I watched that game Saturday night when they played Syracuse. I was so impressed with Clevin, the way, not just the physical presence, but the way he moved the puck. Like he was up on his toes through the neutral zone, making plays. I thought he's come, like I said, I watched most of their games. He's come a long way. So right now I'm thinking Clevin can be part of the answer at the NHL level. But I think they keep Chychrun unless they get a, blow your doors off offer. I think they keep them just to keep their options open during the summer. Cause I think during the summer, it's either going to be Chychrun or Shabbat.
Hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
I think Thomas Shabbat has shown now playing last minutes. I think he's a little more confident that he is perhaps the better of the two. Also, this isn't a personal thing about Jacob Chychrun. I think it's easier to move Jacob Chychrun than it possibly is to move Thomas Shabbat. That's all because of contract and paying $10 million as opposed to 4.6. And Chychrun's got one more year left. Like, there's a number of reasons why it just looks good and easier perhaps to move Jacob Chychrun and better your organization for it. I like him as a player without question. Yep. You have to make a move. And I think that's the easier of the two. And I really like Thomas Shabbat.
Yorkie, do you think Shabbat's play has improved since Jacques took over behind the bench?
100%. I think Thomas has played much better. He's playing with a ton of confidence. We talked about this the other day, his puck retrievals and his ability to skate it out of the zone and make a good first pass or skate it. I think he's been Ottawa's best defenseman at that as of late. Even better than Sanderson. And Sanderson's been really good. But I think it's been kind of a tale of two seasons. I thought Chychrun was the better defenseman at the start. Shabbat was injured, missed time. But now I think the way Shabbat's playing and Chychrun, Shabbat's the better defenseman right now. There's no denying that.
He's such a beautiful skater. One of the best skaters in the league. I would like to see them give him more latitude to use that skating. As you said, Yorkie, I still sometimes feel like he double clutches too often when he's under pressure in terms of moving the puck.
Sometimes.
I'd love to see him get the green light just to use that skating. And
if I was somebody tweeted this at me yesterday. I didn't realize this, that Dylan DeMello is a UFA this summer. He's not that old. There's a guy I'd be throwing some money at this summer. Man, you get him to come back and you put him on the right side with Tom and Shabbat, and you got another pairing of Sanderson and Zub. That's a pretty darn good top four with a nice mix of everything. And then
you just get me a player who will hit somebody for a change, please, for the love of God?
Well, that's what Clevin's coming.
So he's going to play 14 minutes a night on a third pairing. Can we get one of somebody up front in the top four to hit somebody just to make life a little more miserable?
I'll ask the question.
CJ, when you used to play media hockey, you would cross check me in the back like crazy. I want one of you to be on the top four. That's all I want.
Yeah. Well,
how many deer like that in the league though?
Not many. Yeah. Not many. Wally doesn't know.
It really isn't.
Trouba is like, to me, it's at the top of the list, the guy that'll take the head off.
Watch the best D, the biggest and arguably best defenseman over the last 10 years has been Victor Hedman. He doesn't go out there and crush guys. It's just stick on puck, body position. When you have all, when you have the puck all the time, you don't have to play like a donkey.
Okay, they just move them then. Then have somebody move them. But Eric Brännström's not moving anybody in front of the net.
That's totally right.
That's all. I just want somebody to make life a little difficult. Do you not think Victor Hedman just makes life a little more difficult when he's leaning on you at 6'5" or whatever it is?
For sure. But it's just... Yeah,
like, I didn't mean cross-check him in the neck. I just want somebody to move somebody. That's all.
Yeah,
or just CJ. By the way, it should be pointed out, almost a year ago today, if you consider it's a leap year, Jacob Chychrun traded to the Ottawa Senators. It was March 1st. He was acquired, and since then, he's second in points, I think, first in goals. He's also got 4 power play goals, which is more than the other 2 defensemen combined on the blue line in power play goals. Like, he's done a lot of stuff. So I think he's been a very good acquisition. I just don't think he's the right fit. But a year ago today, if you will.
It's so interesting to me, and I've learned over my my few years covering the league and talking to a lot of coaches and a lot of players, that you don't really know exactly what a player is all about until he's a teammate or he's a guy who plays for you. And you – coaches tend, I think players, you guys tell me if I'm wrong, players tend to focus on the positive attributes of teammates and what they bring to the team. Coaches tend to focus on the negative once they get to know a guy, and they coach him every night and they figure out where they can play him and where they can't play him and in what situations and with who. And watching Chychrun night after night, I have to say that I've been a little bit disappointed with the overall package. The offense in there, and that's what we always, you know, watching him. He was in Arizona. I mean, I have to admit, I don't watch a lot of Coyotes games over the years. when you talk about that physical part, the guy's a specimen. Like, I thought he was going to come in here and give them like a little bit of jam, but there's been like almost none. If there's one aspect of Chychrun's game that's disappointed me, it's been that. And Wally, you made me think of it when you said, like, just that presence in front of the net. Yes. And when there's just, I'm getting your hand in somebody's face, or, you know, just having a little bit more of a physical presence. I thought, and maybe wrongly on my part, I thought Chychrun was going to bring more of that. And I've been a little bit disappointed that he hasn't been more of a physical presence. But again, probably more on me than him, for just not knowing his game well enough before he got here.
Well, I thought he ate baby goats, so I don't know why he's not splashing people in the throat.
The thing is, Ottawa's got 3 power play quarterbacks that play the left side. You got 3 of them because they now, like Sanderson's probably their most physical D when you really want to be honest, and just because he rubs guys out, he angles guys off. He doesn't hit hard, but he's physical.
Zub is subtly good at that. Like,
similar to Sanderson.
Eyes and just
making
them run out a racetrack. Yeah.
It's tough. It's really tough though in today's game to run at guys and hit them hard, because before you could kind of put your arm out, get your stick. You can't do that anymore. So it's really difficult to do the stuff Trouba does. You have to time it so much, because if you miss, you're getting walked. So But yeah, that's it with I like Jacob Chychrun.
So how do they change the mix? How do they change the mix? I love your idea about DeMelo. He was the perfect fit with, I thought Shabbat was some of the best hockey he ever played when DeMelo was his partner.
Yeah, Bob brought that up. Bob brought that up a little while ago, that they were partners when Thomas had one of his best seasons. Yeah, and that's just because you've got a steady Eddie that's gonna be there. It's kind of like when Math played with Carlson. You know he's gonna be there. That works.
Yeah. He was such and Craig would have been able to tell you this. I mean, what a social media superstar, right? For the team, Melo, I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. And which you know is not a reason why you want a guy around, but it's a nice bonus that he was a guy that did so many great videos and everything else with Craig and helped give the Senators some positive personality. And the thing that kills me, he wanted to stay.
Yeah, he loved it here. Dorian never talked to him.
No. after his time in San Jose, where I think he was a healthy scratch for like half the season because they couldn't put him on waivers. They knew that they would lose him. So he sat around as the seventh guy. And then, you know, finally Ottawa, and give Pierre credit. I mean, they managed to work him loose in the trade. And he just came into his own here in Ottawa. And I think he had a soft spot for Ottawa because of that, you know, this was the franchise that gave him his opportunity. Going back again to what we were talking about at the top of the show, I had many, many conversations with him in the time leading up to the trade deadline that year and whether he wanted to stay. And the answer was an emphatic, yes, I would like to stay here. And he wasn't even looking for that much money. And he's gone to Winnipeg and helped Winnipeg be one of the best blue lines.
They're okay.
In the league.
So you need
they might be the best in the league. Anyway, yeah,
you need Winnipeg to get bounced in the first round. And then who's tight with DeMello on the team still, Bob? Anybody? You need to make a few calls.
Shabbat must be.
Shabbat
on the horn and make some calls. Hey, we're gonna get you here, buddy. Hang tight.
We should start that campaign. Absolutely. That should be their number one target on the blue. I think, Bob, that's a great idea.
Bob, if you look around the league, is there a more perfect fit than that guy for what
No.
You know
Melo's. I played with him. Great person. Great room person. Glue guy. And he brings exactly what settles Chabby down and frees Chabby up at the same time. I loved being on the ice with him because you knew he was just going to see the first pass and make it. And there was nothing fancy. There was just blue collar defenseman. Like, he's a perfect fit. I would love to see him back in a sweater. Love it.
Predictable, right, Bobby? I mean, that's what you want with a bunch of your teammates, is just be predictable. I know what you're going to do in that situation, so I can react accordingly.
Exactly.
Well, how frustrating is it, Bob, when you're a forward, and we heard one of the centers, there was a hot mic on the ice a couple weeks ago, and they said, move the fucking puck! Because sometimes the sense, when you're a talented guy, you're going to double clutch, you're going to hold it, but I don't know, Bob, when you're the forward, you want that puck fast and you want it on time. You don't want D to D to D to D to D. You want it to me.
And you're letting everybody set up, and then you're actually putting forwards, especially the wingers, in bad positions because you're going to get the puck on a wall with a guy within 3 feet of you. And you're like, what do you want me to do but flip this into the zone? Right. So, Melo is D. Like, if Melo sees a quick up opportunity, he's going right there. If not, he slides it D to D and says, I'm going to give it to somebody that makes more money than me, and I'm going to hang out back here.
and the other thing I like about his game, Bobby, like, if there wasn't something there, he'd eat the puck. Like, he would just take it to the wall and hold it at the wall until help came. Yep. But he was not just going to move the puck for the sake of moving it. If nothing was there, I'm going to take it to the wall and I'm going to keep it in my skates until there's a better option.
Yeah, he's very
smart.
There you
go. So there you go. Do you want to give $4 million to Tarasenko or a different veteran in DeMello?
I've already retired DeMello's jersey based on this conversation. Wow.
Hey, he's good in the room.
So CJ, I don't know if you've got to go, but I got to move on to some other topics. You're free to stay.
I'll stay. I don't know, unless you want to give me the boot. I've got like another 10 minutes.
Okay, good. Though. So you'll enjoy. Well, you'll enjoy this because we're going to get to the Artie party.
Golf.
I wish we could, but can't. Too busy. As we know, today's Did You Know? Because it's February 29th. So I looked up some February 29th stuff. So Wendy's is letting you win real food with your fantasy teams this year in Daily Faceoff. For those of you who smoke the competition, Wendy's rewarding you with weekly prizes that will have you winning despite your lack of team building skills. Download the Wendy's app and score yourself 150 bonus reward points on your first order and grab a sweet victory from the mouthwatering jaws of defeat, along with some fresh, never frozen Canadian beef. Go to dailyfaceoff.com, click on the Wendy's Survivor icon in the top right, and sign up to play Wendy's Daily Faceoff Survivor Pool to win weekly prizes like the spicy chicken sandwich from Wendy's and the Wendy's app. All right, here we go. February 29th. I looked it up. The Ottawa Senators are 2-0 on this date. The first game was a 5-3 win at Boston. Jason York in the lineup. 3 shots on goal. He was a +3. Marian Hossa with 2 goals. Colin Forbes scored, I believe, his last goal as an Ottawa Senator, or one of his last in that game. his first goal of the season was that game. And then the next night he scored his last goal as an Ottawa Senator. He was gone the next season. Also, February 29, 2020 was the Artie party. Artem Anisimov scores two goals, including the shootout winner, or I should say plus the shootout winner, as a 4-3 win over Detroit. Bobby Ryan, 20 minutes in that game. Minus one, however, four shots on goal. Scott Sabourin, his last goal in the National Hockey League in that game. Do you guys remember the Artie party, Bob?
Not really, if I'm being completely honest. No, I don't remember any of the goals from the game. I don't remember. I mean, I'm usually pretty good about that, but no, I don't remember it at all.
Well, it's most okay. It's most memorable moment with the Senators, unfortunately, and that he was a forward, was when he had all the goaltending equipment on. He was ready to go in the dressing room.
Oh, I almost got that picture.
You guys remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Huh?
Yeah. He was, I love that guy.
I love your Artie party practice stories about another day off, eh?
Yeah. He would do absolutely everything he could not to go on the ice. We just go out there, we tap it around, we get off. Okay. All right, buddy. He hated dumping the puck. He would never dump the puck. He's like, why I do this? Why we dump every time? I'm like, I don't know, Artie. He's like, oh, Bush League.
I should point out, Yorkie, you actually were the color guy for the last game for the Detroit game. So, in fact, you were involved in both February 29th games for the Ottawa Senators.
Nice. I covered the Artie party. Nice.
Finally, Bobby, you also played in another February 29th game as a member of the Anaheim Ducks 2020 against the Buffalo Sabres, and things at the end got out of hand.
2010, maybe not 2020. Is this where we
2010.
Yes. 2020.
Is that me in the middle? No, that's the worm.
So just off the face-off, Patrick Coletta. Then you come in with the little shots to Patrick Coletta.
Oh.
You started a Donnybrook at the end of the game.
I could not stand to watch Coletta play hockey.
He's such a loser. such a loser. I don't really
remember this.
I like it's way back because Spezza's on the ice and he.
Yeah, Sheldon Brookbank is fighting with. It's not Coletta. It's Tyler Myers. It's 2012.
I do vaguely remember this now. I got a couple shots in and then was like,
and then broke up. You end up being restrained at this. And then all of a sudden you're on the ice.
Me and the ref. Yeah.
Yeah. See, did you trip on something?
I do remember that. I remember going down and I was like, hey, what are we doing? Because everything else was happening over there. And the ref's like, I'm taking you right the F out of here. I was like, oh, okay. All right. Well, look, even Timu's in the mix there.
What's he doing in there?
And Saku.
Yeah. If Saku's fired up, somebody really pissed him off. And it's Coletta for sure. Nerd.
He was such a weasel.
Oh, so but the long tradition of Sabres shit disturbers.
Yes. Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, but he was dangerous, guys. Like he would target guys when they weren't looking. He'd try and hurt guys. Like I remember watching him. Like it was bad. Yep.
So if you go back to this video at the start, you will see Coletta. So up in the top corner, there's the hit at the end.
Yep.
And if you get the ISO, he's slashing or swinging a stick at Sheldon Brookbank.
Yeah.
And so that's, I think, what started all the kind of nonsense. But Bob, a 2-10 enough. In that game.
I don't know.
Yeah, but what's incredible is he would never fight. Like, right?
Yeah. The worst kind of rat. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Like... you have a 30 goal scorer trying to fight you and your gloves don't come off there. Give me a break, right?
two most dangerous players that I ever watched and played against, Coletta and Matt Cook. Two of the same.
Mm. Yeah.
Dangerous players.
Well, it goes back to what we were talking about before, right? Predictability on the ice. Like if you know a guy's gonna be hitting you, fine. Like you said, Yorkie, you always gotta know who's on the ice with you.
Oh,
but it's those guys who go over the line and you can't predict what crazy thing
Sean might Avery
happen is when it gets dangerous.
Yeah. Sean Donovan's probably one of the nicest guys I know in hockey. And he hated Matt Cook, wanted to kill him.
I don't know where Dono is in the line, but it's a long one.
Yeah, it's a long one. Yeah, good point.
So, all right, I got. Are you staying for lock of the day?
I will stay for lock of the day.
All right, so let me get through some quick business here before we get fired. This show proudly delivered by DoorDash. Got everything you need, even at the last minute. Just choose what you want from where you want. With Double Dash on DoorDash, you can order from multiple restaurants or stores in the same delivery without additional delivery fees, so everyone can get what they want or need for a limited time. Our listeners get 25% off and zero delivery fees on their first order of $15 or more when you download the DoorDash app. Enter code NATION25. That's 25% off, up to a $10 value, zero delivery fees in your first order when you download the DoorDash app in the App Store and enter code NATION25. Offer valid in Canada, subject to change. Terms apply. Also, by BEI, I'm going to go right through it, Bob. Bonisher Excavating Inc., helping to shape the Ottawa Valley. In fact, I talked to the owner the other day, and he's like, what is that you say about my show, about my company? I'm like, it's helping to shape the Ottawa Valley, Mark. Equipment rentals, aggregate and topsoil sales, customs, crushing and screening, hot mix paving, concrete formwork, all the stuff you need. Just call them, BonisherExcavating.com, 613-432-1120. Also by our favorite guest of the day, our second, I guess, would be today, is Douglas Mattress. Named Canada's best mattress on Canadian Living. Unrivaled comfort and feel. Get a delivery in 1 to 4 business days. Loved by more than 200,000 Canadians. Over 10,000 five-star reviews. Experience their risk-free 365-night risk-free trial. Don't like it? Just get a full refund. Every mattress comes with a $650 value of one luxurious cotton sheet set, two memory foam pillows and pillow protectors, and a mattress protector. Go order today at douglas.ca/CIH. All right. Lock of the day. The Arizona Coyotes are in town. Now, depending on how tonight goes against the Toronto Maple Leafs, the Arizona Coyotes are 0-11-2 in their last 13 games.
Ooh, so they're due.
Oh, wow. Okay. So Ottawa, by the way, not very favor very well against Arizona. 3-7 in the last 10 games against them. But they're 6-2-2 in their last 10 at home. Sanderson, by the way, has points in all three of the games he's played. Two assists in each of the three games he's played in his career against the Arizona Coyotes. Clayton Keller's 500th career game. Oh, actually, sorry, that'll be tonight. So, I mean, you know what, CJ? I'll let you decide how to start this. Who do you think is going to win the game tomorrow night?
Ottawa's coming off of two stinkers, eh?
Mm-hmm.
And if they've shown that they kind of don't let these streaks go on, and I am really surprised to see this Coyotes team under Andre Tourigny, who I think is a hell of a coach.
Yep.
To be mired in this kind of run. I think the Ottawa Senators are going to win this one. It's a lock.
Okay.
Whoa. Okay. Mm-hmm. But so CJ, I remind you, they don't have any goaltending. Well, they do, but it's last in the league in save percentage. Their two goaltenders, by the way, we didn't get to this earlier, are ranked, I have it somewhere, 50. Out of the 51 goalies who have played 20 games or more, Anton Forsberg is 46, and Jonas Corposalo is 48th in save percentage.
Ooh.
And that doesn't often happen with me, but if you want to get – and that's like, and that's why all these discussions about are they a good team, what tweaks do you need to make, how good is the blue line really, like so much of it's undermined by the fact that the goaltending has been so bad. And I thought, you know, Forsberg had, what, during that four-game stretch, Forsberg got his save percentage up around 925. But personally, I thought it was more the team playing better in front of him. I think about that Dallas game, which yep. only slightly tongue-in-cheek, I said, was their best game in 6 years. they only gave up 15 shots. They blocked 25, you know, against the top team, a legit Stanley Cup contender.
Yeah.
And, you know, but then the goaltending sags again. And there's so many storylines. Like, what's the most intriguing storyline? We've talked about, you know, what do you do with Tarasenko at the trade deadline? I think is the most timely thing to be talking about. But after that, it's for me, it's the blue line, and what do you do about the goaltending?
Yeah,
you can't buy. You can't buy Corposalo out, can you?
No.
You can take a 4-year, 8-year hit.
No. No.
Wow.
So.
That hurt.
Hope and pray.
So tomorrow's March 1st, which would be the 1-year anniversary of Jacob Chychrun, which happens to be him playing his former team. I think there's a lot of money on the board. So I'm going with the Ottawa Senators.
All right.
And Jacob Chychrun to pick up a point.
I am going with the exact opposite of what Jason York does because I got to start getting a gap here.
Well, you're not going to like Bob. You're not going to like it. Ottawa's at home. Like they've got a great home record. They're dog shit on the road. I'm taking Ottawa. I don't care how bad the goalies are. Arizona is red rotten right now. I'm taking Ottawa, especially after those two stinkers. They just set a franchise record of not getting a shot in the third period. There's no way they're not going to be ready to play this game. I'm taking Ottawa.
I got some injuries, and I'm taking the Yotes.
Yeah.
Wow.
I said,
now, Yorkie, you're the king of shots on goal. I was really disappointed to see that you only had whatever it was three in that game on February 29th. What an off night for you. So you're playing for a team that is in the third period. Don't have a shot. And that's, you know, it's not good for the team pride. Would you have not just like found a way to like loft one in there just so that you could say that you had a shot and avoid everybody talking the next day about the first time in team history you didn't have a shot on goal in a period? Would something not just loft one at the net?
I don't think they had the puck much in that period to even do that. Like Nashville was, but yeah, for sure. You waste one from center or whatever, but yeah. That was a clinic by both teams that was put on.
Yeah, it certainly was. Yeah, I got to write. I'm betting on a team that's 0-13 in their last game.
Yes, you are.
But I'm gonna
that's why I went first.
What you're saying they're due.
Law of averages is coming into play here.
Yeah, they're going to lose by five, but everybody's going to end up with pizza at the fifth goal or fourth goal, whatever it is.
Hey, that's why I took Ottawa against Nashville when you guys both took Nashville. So I don't remember you guys going, oh, that's a bad idea, Wally. So you're going to have to live with that, Bob.
All right. Okay, I got to go. So here's my last shots.
So do I. Let's go.
I remember going to cover a New Jersey-Toronto Maple Leafs playoff game in New Jersey at the old rink. And I remember the Toronto Maple Leafs shots on goal in that game. It was, you know, the Devils being the Devils back then. Toronto Maple Leafs shot, three in the first, two in the second, one in the third.
That's
I think I was there for that.
For the night, were you?
Yeah. Six shots on goal.
Wow.
I think my lead on my story was something like 3-2-1 out.
That's pretty good.
Thanks. Boy. I had one every now and then, Wally.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Usually by people like you walking by me in the press box and saying, hey, this is what you should write. And you're like,
actually, I always enjoyed reading your stuff. So I might have, I'm just trying to see if I can find this game quickly. Well, there it is. May 8th, 2000. New Jersey won 3-0.
Those were good Devils teams. Those were the
Patrick Eliash fought Darcy Tucker in that game. So anyway, Marty Brodeur against Curtis Joseph. There you go. All right, CJ. Thank you. We appreciate. It. I know you stayed longer than we told you.
I enjoyed it, and don't take so long to ask me back next time.
I will. See you next week.
Thanks for coming on.
All right. I had a whole bunch of other stuff, but we've had a long week. And so I will acquiesce to you, Bob. And the only thing I just want to wrap up, because we didn't touch on it, is Josh Norris and how he must be dealing with stuff.
Oh, right now. Yeah. Tough.
I sent him a text and just got back a thank you. And then obviously, never going to ask a player because I'm on the other side of things now, but just said, I hope you're healing up. And he said, thank you. So doesn't give you much into his feelings, but he's probably, it's probably not too excited right now. And it's a shame because I've been down the injury front, but nothing like that. Right. It's a different beast with a shoulder and the amount of time it could take. So wish him well. It sucks. I really hope it's not a re-tear and it's not a surgery thing, but it's something that he can rehab and strengthen and and get some more reps before the end of this year. But if it's going to be a while, I would assume they're just going to shut him down.
Yeah. I talked to a bunch of kind of experts in the field today with injuries and that kind of stuff. And they said, man, Hopefully it's a broken collarbone, which was I was told, because that's best case scenario, because the way he went in, because they said you re-injure that shoulder, man, oh man, that is like, yeah, don't even want to think about it, just the hell it takes to rehab something like that. So fingers crossed for Josh Norris, that it's not a re-injury, but but that's it would be tough. Like, you would think though that it was repaired the right way this time, and he took so much time that it's not that, but man, it's all signs just didn't look good. Yeah. So we'll see.
He was, I feel for him, but Bob, just a note that since you are on the other side now, we would appreciate if you would ask for full x-rays and stuff. Okay.
Okay.
You could get that for us.
Yeah.
No. I need to try and work you into the media side more. All right. Go move your furniture in. By the way, go vote at Faces. If we win the award, Bobby's buying everybody a house. So that'll be good too.
I want a plaque for the, there I want a is. Plaque for my office.
I will bring down, fly down a plaque by myself.
Love it.
Bob, we're both going to get award plaques. Winner, best sports podcast, The Brent Wallace Show.
And employee of the month for The Brent Wallace Show.
Even Chris Stevenson said, hey, Wally, it's good to be on your show.
I didn't notice that, but I did tell him that to say that. Yes,
I caught it.
All right, boys. All right. See you on Monday. I appreciate it.
Thanks for the warning.
Have a great weekend, guys.
See you guys.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.